I'm at that age and stage in life where I still not got bored of opening Christmas presents. I love the feel of Christmas presents, and I love to rattle them and to scrunch them up a little bit. And then I love to unwrap Christmas presents very much indeed. I've not grown out of that ever. And tonight, I'm going to just spend just a few minutes unpacking, as it were, the meaning of Christmas. Unpacking it and thinking of it as that exciting gift that we've been given, that we're ripping it open and seeing just what's inside. The angels came to the shepherds, and the angels said to the shepherds that a Savior had been born, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, stories about rescues, stories about being saved, stories about rescue and being saved are stories that are just filled with hope. And I think stories about rescue and stories about being saved make the by far the very, very best stories that there are. Up on the screen now, we're going to have played, I think, my favourite rescue story this December, all right? So it is only 50 seconds long, and by way of introducing it to you, I'm going to read a newspaper article about this film clip, okay? And that way you'll know what to look for in the film. Okay, you ready? Extraordinary footage has emerged of the rescue of a man who is stranded at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean in an upturned boat. Harrison Okini, a cook, was in the tugboat off the Nigerian coast when it capsized and sank. The rest of the crew drowned, but he managed to find an air pocket in the boat's hull, where he stayed semi-submerged, sipping on a bottle of cola for sustenance and praying for a miracle. 3 days later, divers arrived at the scene to search for bodies. One was carrying a camera. In the footage, a hand can be seen, so look out for it, suddenly emerging in the darkness. Assuming that it was attached to a corpse, the team had already found four, the diver reaches out to grab the limb, only for it to grab him back. Both the diver and those watching on the screen on the surface can then be heard screaming in shock, which turns to excitement when they realize that they have found a survivor. Okini, who was himself deeply alarmed by the diver's unexpected arrival, was given an oxygen mask and sprayed with hot water to warm him up before being returned to the surface in a decompression chamber. It is seriously amazing. Have a watch of this.
What's that? Okay. Alright, you found one, yeah? He's alive. Okay, keep him there. Alright. Just hold him there, okay? Just keep him there. I don't know what we're gonna do. Alright, just keep him there, keep him calm, okay? Alright, just reassure him, pat him on the shoulder. Okay. All right. Okay, just reassure him. Give him a thumbs up and reassure him. Okay, reassure him. Keep reassuring him.
Isn't that amazing? Stunning. Let me read you what this guy said. This is what Harrison said. The rest of my life is not enough to thank God for this wonder. And we'd say, yeah, we'd agree if that had happened to us. 3 days at the bottom of the ocean. And then, extraordinarily, he gets rescued. I wonder what you make of the news of Christmas. Let's unwrap it. There's a picture of a Christmas tree going to come up on the screen behind me there. The first wrapping at the top of the tree there, the first gift, well, what's inside? Let's open it up, shall we, and have a look inside. There we are. It is the gift of a Saviour. That is a rescuer, a deliverer. And as we've just seen and we've just experienced, news about a rescue is thrilling and it is wonderful news to be liberated, to be freed from the bottom of the ocean, to be freed by a Saviour is a most remarkable and a wonderful thing. But what does it mean at Christmas time for the gift to be the gift of a Saviour? Save us from what? Well, the next two gifts will help us, and that is the next words that Jesus, that were spoken by the angel to the shepherds. The Saviour will be Christ, and then the third gift, Lord. Christ Lord. In our English translations, the angels say about the birth of a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. That's not actually how it reads in the original. In the original, it is simply and just Christ Lord. The Saviour who is Christ Lord. And you know what? It is the only place in the whole Bible where that phrase, Christ Lord, is used. What's going on there? What's being emphasized? What's being emphasized is this. We'll know what the Saviour is about and what he's saving us from when we figure out what this Christ Lord means. So what does Lord mean? Anyone want to just throw out? Can anyone know what the word Lord might mean in the Bible? Anyone want to throw out their thoughts? Master. Ruler. Master is actually what it literally means. But the connection here with what's going on with the birth of this Saviour probably means that it's the Master who is Lord God, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God of history. That's who the angels say has come into the world. The Lord God, our Master, the Master of the universe. What about that other word, Christ? What, let's unpack that a bit. What does Christ mean, do you think? Anyone else want to join in? Messiah? Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew. What does Messiah or Christ mean? King? Anointed one, that's right. Christ or Messiah means anointed one. So what it literally means is anointed one. So what's being said at the top of the Christmas tree, have a look at it, is that there is a Saviour. A Saviour who is born, and he is Christ Lord. That is, he can only do saving, or he's come to save us from something that only God, as Christ, can save us from. So what is it that he's come? What is it that only God can do coming into the world as the anointed one? Well, let's unpack the next presents, the next gifts down the bottom there. The first one is prophet. In the Old Testament, there were three anointings that kind of went on, three major ones. Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, prophet, the anointed prophet. Well, what do prophets do? Prophets speak on God's behalf. Well, why is it that we need God to come in and, as it were, be his own prophet? To speak, as it were, on his own behalf? Why is it Christ, the prophet, who is the Lord? Well, surely it is this. Who are we to be able to claim that we know everything? Anything about God? Who are we to claim that we can speak of him or describe him? You see, if I was to speak of God and to dream up God in and of myself only, then I would dream up, surely, wouldn't I, a figment of my own imagination. And so would you. It wouldn't be God. How can creatures actually know our God, our Creator? You see, we need God, surely, to introduce himself to us. We need God to tell us who he is, about his own character. That's why we need a Savior who is Christ, the anointed prophet, the Lord. Because, you see, we need saving from our ignorance. The Savior, Christ Lord, tells us what we need to be saved from. We need to be saved from our ignorance, not knowing. Later on, if you do get a hold of one of these copies of Luke's Gospels, turn to chapter 4, and there you will see and read that Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news." The anointed Christ Lord, the prophet Lord. Well, what about the next gift? There's Christ, the prophet, the anointed prophet. Secondly, the anointed priest. What do priests do? What do priests do? They mediate, sorry. Tell people about God. Yep. Basically, what a priest does is a priest gives people access to God. Kind of like a mediator, a go-between. Goes between God and people. How can imperfect people ever be in the presence of a holy God? Have you ever asked that question? How can we, as sinful, imperfect people, ever enter into the presence of God? Who of us is not a sinner, as the Bible would describe it? Could any of us, in and of ourselves, ever claim, let alone actually experience God in our lives? No, not on our own. We're separated, we're alienated from God. We can't have access. There's no right of way. We're shut out. We need God to do it. We need the Savior who is the Christ Lord. That is, he's the anointed priest. We need him to unlock the door, as it were, on his side, so we, as the carol says, can enter in. Priests give people access to God. We need this Savior, Christ, the anointed prophet, who is the Lord. So we need the priest to save us from our ignorance. We need the prophet to save us from our ignorance. We need the priest to save us from our separation from God. What about the next one? The final gift. Gift number 6. The anointed king. What do kings do? Kings rule. What else do kings do? Is that it? They just rule. In the Bible, actually, kings do a little bit more than just ruling. Sorry? They lead. They rescue. That's right. Kings, they lead, they rule, and in actual fact, they rescue. Here is something that is undeniable. We, you and me, are all slaves to death. And for some of us, and this just needs to be acknowledged, I think, again at Christmas time, some of us in this past year know that more closely than others, because we're bereaved this Christmas time. And we need to pray for one another and pray for those who know bereavement and loss this Christmas time. But you know, there is absolutely nothing that any of us can do about death. And the Bible is clear. The Bible is clear that death is the result of our sin. And death is God's judgment upon us for our sin. And the Bible says that we are slaves. There's nothing we can do about our death. And that means there is nothing we can do about God's judgment upon our sin. We are slaves to death. We are slaves to sin. We are slaves to God's judgment. And there's nothing we can do about it. We need a rescuer. We need a saviour. We need a Christ who is the anointed king, the rescuing king, to come and to save us from our captivity. We need a prophet to save us from our ignorance. We need a priest to save us from our separation from God. We need a king to save us from our captivity to sin, to death, and to judgment. Do read Luke's Gospel. Read chapter 22, and we find the priest, the Christ, saying this: "This is my body. This is my blood." Read on into chapter 23, and you hear the story being told of Jesus' death upon the cross. And as he dies upon the cross, and you can imagine it in your own mind's eye at the moment, Jesus upon a cross, what is above him? What is the notice that is placed above him? The king. Behold your king. Come to rescue you. Christmas time is about a rescue. And it is a wonderful rescue if we admit that we need rescuing. And it's a humbling message, isn't it? To turn to God at Christmas time and say, "Yeah, okay, God, Christmas reminds me that I'm ignorant about you. Christmas reminds me that I am separated from you, as it were, at the bottom of the ocean. And Christmas reminds me that I need to be rescued from slavery, captivity, to sin and to death and to God's judgment." So it's humbling. But it's only as we unwrap it and see the position that we are in that the joy of the gift really is as precious as it is. We can say, like that guy who was saved from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, "The rest of my life is not long enough for me to say thank you." A hand reaching out into the darkness, as it were, to take a hold of ours and say, "I'm here to rescue you." The alternative. What is the alternative? The alternative is to pull our hand back and say, "No, I'm doing all right here, thank you very much. I've got my bottle of cola." If you turn down the gift of Christmas, I want to suggest to you strongly and underline it as firmly, as humbly as I can, that it would be no different to that guy sat at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean saying to those divers, "No thanks, I'll stay put." Don't do it. What a joy, what a privilege it is to know Christ, who has come to rescue us and to come to save us. We're going to sing our fifth carol, "Silent Night." Let's stand and let's sing.